we're certainly glad you're here this morning, all of you. That includes Mr. MacArthur. We're glad he's here. Brother Gillingham, Brother Mueller. Haven't seen some of these people for a long while, but we're glad all of you are here. Now, can you hear me all right? If I speak any louder, it'll blow the inside out of this thing here. All right, we're going to turn this morning to James chapter 1. And I'm going to take a few minutes to go back and to bring you up to date as to where we should be in thinking about just a small portion of this first chapter during the week with you. I have no purpose to teach the whole book of James. That probably would take several months. That is at least the way I would want to teach it, because you cannot slide through James quickly and do it justice. You have to savor the words in this great book, because every word is important to our spiritual experience. James was in all probability the first letter written in the New Testament. I believe it was written by the half-brother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sure that there would be many men who would like to act in the flesh if they were writing a book of this nature and do just a little boasting of their relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ. But James does not indulge in that, and you'll notice that he simply opens the book saying, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a message for believers. I would say a message for all believers, even though the message itself in this particular form is addressed to the diaspora, or the Hebrews that were scattered throughout Palestine and adjacent areas. The great persecutions had not broken out yet upon the church, because the book was written about 45 to 50 A.D., and the great persecutions did not come until we get just a little closer to 60 A.D., and I'm referring to the Roman persecutions. However, wherever there were Christians, there were enemies of the gospel. And Christians did suffer, some from their own countrymen as Jews, and of course as Gentile Christians, they suffered from both Jew and Gentile, but not primarily from the Roman government at this point. But any suffering is difficult, no matter from whom the opposition comes. It is difficult to endure. And this man of God, led by the Holy Spirit, addressed to us five chapters that are simply full and running over with much that you and I need, even in 1983. I have done an outline recently of the book, and I've divided the book into three parts. You'll be interested to know that the first part in chapter 1 has to do with the wisdom of God. And then the second part, chapter 2, has to do with the warning of God. And the warning of God has to do with people in positions, and it has to do with faith and works. And then that blessed closing portion 3, 4, and 5, it has to do with the will of God. And the will of God is expressed in sound talking, it's expressed in sound walking, and it's expressed in sound teaching. I encourage you to study the book of James, because it will bless your heart in its entirety. The first verse, of course, is the salutation. Every letter has a salutation. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. The word for scattered is the word diaspora, the scattered ones. And so in the first verse, we have the servant of God, James. The scattered of God are his people in Christ. And then we have the salutation, which is greeting. When we come to verse 2, I see three things in this particular passage. First of all, there is an exhortation. And secondly, there is an expectation. And thirdly, there is an experience. Now, we'll look at them one by one. An exhortation is found in the words, "My brethren, count it all joy." Count it all joy. On the Lord's Day, in the morning, I wanted to consider the word count just a little more than I did. But we wanted to move on also and get in a good part of that verse. So I want to backtrack for a moment and take a look with you at the word count. Because if there is anybody here today that is facing a problem, you are under some trial, and trials take many, many forms, as we shall see this morning. If that's the case with you, then I believe that you'll be interested in this word count. As I look at the word, and I'm looking at the actual word in the text here, it means to lead before the mind. I think the idea here is that it means to consider. Here is something to consider, so you lead it out, as it were, by the hand, and it appears before the mind. And there it is on the tablet of the mind, and you look at it, and you consider it. But there is a hidden meaning to this word, and if you have a pen, pencil, or tablet, will you mark down this morning that it means to think forward? I'll explain that. This is the word egesos there, and it means to think forward. I'll illustrate it on the board for us. And I'm going to put, I don't know who to draw this morning, so I think I'll draw myself. And over here, nice and thin, you see, this is the believer in Jesus Christ. Over here, at some point, is a trial, you see. Let's go just one step farther. Over here is the coming of the Lord for the saints. I'll give you the 3 points again. Here is the believer, here is the trial, and here is the rapture. Now, Mr. Believer looks at the trial. Now, this trial may take the form of sickness. So he is ill. and he looks at his trial. It may take the form of a disappointment, and so DIS will stand for disappointment. He never expected a disappointment like this, but here it is, and it's crowding its way right into his very soul. Here is another trial. This is one he didn't expect to receive even from his close friends. Misunderstanding. Misunderstanding. Another one that comes is limited circumstances. No, he never expected, she never expected to suffer losses and to have to live on limited means, limited circumstances. And here is another one, and I'll close with this. It's the word loneliness. Many of us have been surrounded by many friends for most of our lives. And then we find ourselves in a restricted circle of friends. We're not with the old friends, at least not with many of them, and not with our families. They're great distances from us. And we get just a little bit lonely at times. And now these become trials. They are not temptations to sin, but they are trials. They are circumstances that try our faith. Now, I am the Christian, and I look at these circumstances. I look upon them. That simply means I face them. I see them for what they are. I recognize them as trials. And one by one, I can think of them or lead them out before my mind. Now, you remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. Paul said, in essence, that if it was a matter of boasting, such as did these Judaizing teachers, he too could boast a little bit. After all, he said, I might tell you that I'm of the tribe of Benjamin, and I might tell you that I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrews, and I might boast a little bit about the fact that I was legally circumcised on the eighth day. If you fellows have a lot to boast about, he said, if I gave you my list of points for boasting, I probably could outboast all of you. But Paul didn't want to do that. He said, those things that I might boast of in the flesh, he said, I count them all but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, what Paul did, and he used the word count there, incidentally, he brought out before his mind and before his readers, and he listed one by one of all the things that he could boast of. He brought them out and made them appear before the minds of his readers or hearers. You see, he laid them out. Now, before your minds this morning, represented by this symbol, the Christian, before our minds, the Holy Spirit would lead out illness. He would lead out disappointments. Here is misunderstanding. Here is limited circumstances. Here is loneliness. And if you took this piece of chalk, you might be able to add many, many more factors that constitute disappointment and difficulties of that nature in the life of a Christian. Now, we can bring them all out this morning and parade them across the eye of the mind, and we can see them and we can say, yes, 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 those are some of my circumstances. Those are some of my problems, my limitations. those are some of my files in life. And I can count them in the sense that I can spread them out before my eye. I can see them as they parade by. I take note. But now, the word means more than being able to parade something before the eye of the mind. It has to do with thinking forward. Now watch this, Christian. And if you don't get anything more this week from this preacher, I want you to take this home, write it down in the margins of your memories, and take it home and share it with someone else. When James wrote these words, I call it to you again, count it all joy, he said, think forward about the matters. What did he mean? He meant to look at the illness and look at the misunderstanding and look at the loneliness. You know, we're human beings. We have to see these things. But he said, take them all into consideration and think forward to God's redemptive plan, the fulfillment of his purpose in every life. You see, the circumstances are for time. You'll never, never, never be troubled by these things beyond time. This is for eternity, the rapture of the church, when we are caught up and stand in the likeness of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Now he said, this is for time, and you experience these things now, but think forward. You're on your bed of sickness. You're in your room and you have succumbed to some loneliness. You think of all your friends that haven't written to you just lately. Think of even some of your children that haven't written to you lately. And you're apt to kind of crawl into the context of despair. And you wonder, and you wonder, and you wonder. And you might even wonder if God knows and God cares and if God is good and if God understands. But this is what God wants you to do. He wants you to think beyond the circumstances. Get out from under them, you see, and think beyond the circumstances and think forward to the joy. Think forward to the day of his appearing. Think forward to the time when there will be no more illness and would have bodies just like his. Think forward to the moment when all disappointments will merge into his perfect redemptive plan for us. Think forward to the moment when there'll be no more misunderstandings, no more limited circumstances, and no more loneliness, and no more testings. And we'll all stand in the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, beloved friends, this morning, if these things afflict, if they bite deeply into your joy, if they take a life-size portion out of your enjoyment of the Christian life, think forward. Count it all joy. Think in time, but have your eye fixed on eternity. There was a great preacher, and his name was Robert Murray McShane. Have you read his memoirs? Oh, I tell you today, if you haven't read the memoirs of McShane, you've missed something. I used to carry it in my suitcase all the time. I don't know how many times I've gone through that book. I read it because I needed it. This young man died, a tremendous preacher. And when he was buried, the man that preached the funeral sermon said this: that Robert Murray McShane was a man of God. He preached within the veil, with his hand on the mercy seat, and his eye fixed on things invisible. That's the way to preach, and that's the way to teach, and that's the way to live. And friends, this morning, it seems as though James can't wait until he announces that fact to the believer. And almost on the very threshold of this letter, he says, count it all joy. In other words, set your eyes on things invisible. The testing's here, but think beyond the times. Think in terms of enjoyment in his presence. You see, this is for today. This is for tomorrow. You see? Time, eternity. This is for the darkness. This is for that moment when the light of his ineffable glory shall spread itself over us, and we shall be robed also in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Count it all joy. That's an exhortation. Well, I notice something else in this. An expectation. Isn't it good to expect things? How many of you keep your eye on the mailbox here? Ah, the mailboxes. You're expecting checks, I know. I mean those big dividend checks that you get. Only a few get those, I suppose. However, we're always expecting something from the mailman. It may be a bunch of letters appealing for funds from schools and preachers of all descriptions. But we like to get something from the mail. We expect it. All right. Here, this word when captures my thinking. You know, you'll have to forgive me. I love words. And when I get into a word, I like to chase it down and wring it out and see what's there. Now, this word that's translated when is the word whenever. That's it. Hatan. Whenever. And if you please, it does not read if. I can't find a single if in that second verse. Can you? My brethren, count it all joy if ye fall into various temptations or trials. There's no if there. It's something you can expect. Cheer up. Things could get worse. Yes. Expect temptation or trial. And so it isn't a matter of if they come into your life. Brother and sister in the Lord today, some trial is going to come into your life. It may take one form, it may be multiformed, but it's going to come, and I urge you to believe God when it comes. And when it comes, think beyond the present and think in the light of eternal values. And then I notice the experience. When ye fall into divers or various trials. These are experiences. Now to fall, well, you know what that is, I'm sure. Most of us have fallen somewhere. It means to fall into the midst of something. I remember up in New York State, eastern New York State, I went out in the dark to get my car one night at the Bible conference, and I was unfamiliar with the parking lot because they had changed the parking lot, and I thought I should go here when I should have gone here. I went this way, and I tumbled over a big bank. It was a little grassy, but a little thorny, and oh, I didn't know what was wrong with me. I thought something terrible happened. I had already injured my back very badly, and I was taking some cortisone from the physician for that. They didn't know what was wrong, and actually it busted up my back. But I fell into something, and I got itchy. Oh, did I get itchy. I had spots all over me, my arms, and, well, went to one doctor. He said, are you taking any medication? Yes. What do you take? Cortisone. He said, you have a cortisone rash. So I jiggled around. He said, take the cortisone away. And he took this dosage away, and then everything started to move inside, you know. My liver was marching westward, and my heart was going eastward. And I got home, went to the doctor there. He said, a cortisone rash? Who told you that? I said, a doctor in Rochester. He said, find out where he got his medical education. Why, he said, that's old poisoning. I gave me back the cortisone. So I had an itch because I fell into something. Now, that's your word, Christian. It seems at times in our lives that we fall into a mess. Here's a problem, there's a problem, here's one, and we get itchy all over with problems. We can't find solutions. We've got more problems than we have answers. Now, James said, the experience that you can look forward to on this side of the rapture, not on the other side is different, but what you can look forward to is to fall into the midst of trials, and they will be divers trials. Just this, and I close. The word divers here is the word poikilos. And if I just say one word, I know some of the ladies here are going to jump to the answer. If I tell you that these are polka-dotted experiences, you know what I mean, don't you? Any polka dots here this morning? I don't see any. However, you know what they are. And I like to see that kind of material. I just drawn to it. I like the different colors. Because this word poikilos is the word from which we get polka dots, and it is a variegated experience or series of experiences. In other words, our trials come in all kinds of colors. Now, what's your color this morning? Black and blue? Purple, chartreuse, you know, I don't know really what your color is or how many colors, but our trials come and they're of all sorts, all descriptions, and he describes them as variegated trials, polka dotted experiences. They're not all alike. Cheer up, tomorrow's will be different from today's. It may even be worse. But look beyond. Think beyond. Think forward at the rapture, where we'll be covered, clothed, completely outfitted. Think of it in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And at Calvary, when he shed his precious blood, he could look forward to that day when the saints of God redeemed would be given that clothing of glory provided by the sufferings upon the cross. Hallelujah this morning. We're not living for time. We're living for eternity. Father, bless, we pray, our thinking this morning on this passage. We need it, Lord. We need to think about it. And we need to believe it. And as we look at our trials today and those of tomorrow, if he tarries, help us to see them through the eyes of the Scripture. and to judge them according to the perfections and the love and the caring and the concern, the compassion of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ for each of us.